Good evening, everyone. Welcome to a city council workshop. It is 5:42 p.m. We're at City Hall, and we are going to move on to item two, certification of quorum. Mayor Pro Tem Fals is here, Councilman Gorman, and Councilwoman Beckesitz is here. Move on to item three, items for discussion, consideration, and approval. 3.1, receive and discuss Bay City Community Development budget proposal for the fiscal year 2019. Jessica Russell, yes. Executive Director of BCCDC.
Yes. Got it in front of you. Thank you. I can go over some highlights if you like, and then entertain questions. First one is under salaries and wages. It's gone down significantly because we've had a change in executive director. It does include a raise in October for myself and support staff. And then under renovation expenses, under 4460, that is to either renovate the building we're in, or as we've discussed previously about joining with Matagorda County Economic Development and renovating part of the Capital One building is the one we're looking at. And then the next page, there's 75 for Parks and Recs project. that's what my board has decided upon, and once Parks and Recs decides what they're doing with the money and have a proposal, the board's open to discussing it further if they change the amount. So, if you have any questions, I'm happy to entertain them.
The $70,000 for this year that's in the budget, there's a project, right?
Yeah, it's already complete. That was another restroom.
For this year?
Yeah, that's been completed and submitted.
Okay.
It's the east side of the tool part.
And what was the seven? This year's, what do you got in mind for this year?
We had the first $70,000 that we did the previous year was a restroom, and then we had another restroom this year. And the one that's coming up for the new budget is Dreamscape. It's to help draw off-scape the big Dreamscape project. It's like a $200,000 project.
For special needs?
Yeah. The special needs Dreamscape.
The Pilot Club just donated money to?
Yeah.
It's for that.
What, did they give $10,000?
Yes.
Payments.
Eventually we'll be paying, but it was six, I think they gave us at the
end. Do we have money in the budget to cover the rest of it?
We have some donation money that Parks has been raising. The city is going to put a little money from the general fund, and if we need a little more, that's where we originally thought possibly 100 from CDC, but we're good with 75 until we can see how fundraising goes, and maybe a grant opportunity from the company that does the equipment. They'll help match some of that equipment. So it's still a little vague on the exact cost of the project when we complete, but Sean, when he gets the whole thing together, they'll come to the CDC board and let you know how everything's going. But right now, I only put, I think, $25,000 of general fund money towards it, and we might have to hit it with CDC keeps it at 75. That's the thing. Or if he can't raise some more from one of the grant options.
Well, that's the best option. But
we're going to try with
as a last resort.
Yeah.
I'm just one person talking, but if Parks and Recs come with a $140,000 project, or now $150,000, and we've got the cash reserve to cover it, that'd be fine for me. We just cash flow the next year and the previous year, and the next year's budget have zero in it. So, but the approach is good. If we can raise the money otherwise, that's better.
Okay.
Always, yeah. Okay.
So
The only thing I would like long-term with that would it be based on more of a percentage rather than just a flat amount?
Percentage of what?
Total revenues. So if it grows to $5 million, it wouldn't be just the 70. Because the principal would be based on Parks's
The way the 70 got in there is because
the library funding?
The library funding CDC used to do, and we found out we couldn't do it anymore somehow, some way, and the city had to pick it up. So the idea is to put that money, still spend that money, but give it to the city, and that's the $70,000.
No, I fully understand that. That's what I pitched to council years ago. But I think Parks is a crucial and important piece of the city government. And park projects being allowed from 4B sales tax, I think, be based on the percentage.
But I think it has to be.
It's a priority.
I think it has to be assigned, doesn't it? I mean, like, you can't just give it for anything.
Park project.
I know, but.
Can be for operations.
Well, park projects is obviously okay, but.
Suggestion, you don't have to agree with it.
I don't.
It's my recommendation.
Okay.
What do we need to do? Approve it?
We need to approve it?
We'll be doing it through the budget process.
Okay.
It all included with all the public, the budget hearings, I'll have it all together. And I'll probably even put it in the big document of the city that'll be part of the city overall document. But we'll run it through the same budget process for you. So you'll adopt it at the same time you adopt the overall city budget.
I just want to note one more thing. We are working my first board meeting, we discussed a reserve policy, and I plan on talking to Mr. Frankson, our treasurer, and we're coming up with some different ideas, and we'll present them at the August 27th board meeting. So.
Okay, so mm-hmm. This was just kind of a review and a comment thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hold on, I'm gonna get started on you now.
No,
I apologize. I had two walk-ins and I couldn't leave.
Yeah, I found a nickel for every time I heard that one.
Man, I
sound like a barber.
That's awesome, though. I'll take it.
Move on to item 3.2. Receive and discuss possibility to take action and possibly take action on Bay City Railroad Task Force proposal. Councilman Portman.
You have the proposal, right?
Mm-hmm. It's attached.
I've gotten the cart a little bit before the horse. I got invited to the, or asked really to come to the Chamber of Commerce and present this to them because I've got two of their people named for this. So I went, whenever it was, Monday I think it was. And so I presented that to them and they have okayed it. But I told them that we had not. So that's what this is about. The membership, you can see there, Bruce, who's a local business owner who also runs trucks up and down the highway. Mitch is, we just got to have Mitch. He's got all the contacts and knows how to use them with all kinds of people, including TxDOT and the local government people. Joy Hoinkus is the Lyondell Bassell. Joe was quick to point out that it's not Lyondell, it's Lyondell Bassell, plant manager. And he is the heir apparent, I guess, the president-elect for next year of the Chamber of Commerce. And obviously a major Santa Fe user.
Yeah.
He's a big customer.
The on this, how much does Chem Inc. use that rail? Are they big users?
I don't know. I would say none.
Really?
Well, they don't have a spur.
Okay. Isn't the new environmental fluids going to be used in this rail also?
Yes, they plan to put a spur in. And again, that'll be small. They plan to do some work. And by the way, one of their raw materials is ethylene oxide, which So probably be bringing in by truck. Ethylene oxide is probably just about the worst chemical made in terms of its instability. There's also oxa in some of these cars that they go across that track.
That the one right before you, mm-hmm. to Lyondell, correct?
Yes. Lyondell Vassell.
Yes. Lyondell Vassell. Thank you.
Comes across Highway 60.
Right.
Yeah.
In fact, where it makes that Y, that is the shipping point for Bay City. It's called South Bay City. Right. All the waybills will have South Bay City on it. And that's that silly Y that sits out in the middle of the field. Hmm.
So we're going to get them involved selling these? And
this is the core group. Okay. And who all we get, this is not all the people who are going to get involved. It may not be all the people that would sit on the core group, but this is the way we're starting. That's what I propose. The objective, you can read, it's just to alleviate the blockage of the Highway 35 crossing by the Santa Fe Railroad. And you all, I think by now, know what at least I perceive the problem is. The problem is that they've got a place of business in downtown Bay City. So they do crew changes, they do marshaling of cars, switching of cars. And I don't know about you guys, but I have gotten a ton of, even before this was a subject, of input from all kinds of people that are sitting at that intersection for more than an hour. And it's holding up our commercial traffic, to say nothing of holding up the residential and any emergency traffic we may have. But the commercial traffic has got no place else to go. You know, they're not going to hunt around, try to get around that Highway 35 intersection through the city streets looking for a route. And we really don't want them to, so they sit there. And with all the development that's going on, you know, Selene's just started, Oxa just started up a new propanol unit. You know what's happening at Phillips, you know what's happening at Formosa, and points south and north, and the traffic has just got to get worse, and I've made that speech before, so you've heard that. And I just kind of tentative first meeting, I just thought, well, what are we going to think about the first, talk about the first meeting? And the first meeting is obviously going to develop a strategy on how we attack this thing. And I'm under no illusion that this is going to be an easy thing to do. I hope, you know, the ultimate would be to solve the problem. What may end up is we just make it less of a problem. But you can think of all kinds of things that are very difficult to do that I'm sure we'll investigate. Moving Santa Fe out of Bay City, and I don't know how many of you ever worked with a railroad, but that ain't, that's a tough nut. An overpass to clear that intersection. All those things we'll pick at, and we'll just have to see where it goes. So, you know, the probability of success is not 100%, I guess is what I'm saying. I think the probability for making it better is pretty high. Solving the problem, I don't know. The other thing is, if we do solve the problem, it's going to take a good bit of time to do it. This isn't something that's going to happen very quickly. Other members of the team, of course, is Mark. We have to have Mark. And I got my name down there. If somebody else wants to do it, that's fine with me. But so that's the proposal.
When is your first meeting? You haven't yet.
You guys got to say that you're on board first. Then we'll call me.
On this this proposal that you have, it mentions Highway 35 throughout. I don't see any mention of Highway 60. Is the crossing at Highway 60 any? Well, that
it has something to do with it, but basically their locus of activity is here at 35. I mean, it really has everything to do with both of them. But
the stopping and backing up, and is that, you think that'll alleviate some of the issues in 60? 60 bothers me because we've got the hospital, you know, back over there. We block, Nile Valley is closed, you know, currently. But you know, we're facing some safety issues and health issues with that.
To be honest with you, Jason, we know what the solution to Highway 60 is. We got to open up Nile Valley Road. And so that's something that as a council can certainly work on and should be working on. We ought to be working damn hard on it. But based on the discussion we had last time, you know, we're not necessarily attacking noise up and down the Missouri, the Union Pacific, or the Santa Fe, except the noise would certainly go down if we solve some of the problems here at Highway 60, 35. 35 is where the commercial traffic is really getting held up.
Yay. Okay. Thank you.
When's your first meeting?
Well, I don't know.
Let's get started.
You don't act satisfied.
I'm not. I'm not. I'd like to. I mean, while we're at it, I know you know that the noise is not an issue to everybody. It is to some, and I think based on some of the stuff I looked at, it is a fairly simple fix. I know we're different from El Campo. I completely get that, but in talking to them on it, and Mr. Crosscoff. Last time even said, you know, in talking with him, Louise had that issue. Now, Louise by no means has the same amount of crossings that we do, but they turned that into a quiet zone because his dad's house was, or not just because, but bothered the entire town, but his dad's house was there and that noise was bothering him. There was a list that I provided when I first brought this up of other cities that had turned into a quiet zone. Some recent, some medium term, some long term, in terms of age. But I think it's a much easier solution than what we've been told or that we've assumed. And I think it just takes a little digging to.
That's what the task force is going to do, right?
Nope.
They're just doing the Highway 35 crossing.
Oh. But it's the.
And but the noise that's touching is when they sit there idling, that's really the noise that they're trying to get away with or do away with.
Well, but if they move that, if they move the operations from this location to a location outside the city or close to the edge of the city, it will change everything because they won't be changing.
No.
Well, what we need to do is we need to get the marshalling out of the center of the city. I think that's what you're trying to do, right?
That's what we're trying to do.
Okay. That'll fix a whole lot of stuff because they won't be doing the 10 streets up, 10 streets back, 10 streets up, 10 streets back. And I support that 100%.
Well, if we're going to deal with the Railroad Commission.
You may as well do it all.
And I don't even know if this is a railroad. I mean, if they're in the driver's seat here for a quiet zone, I think that's something that the city's in the driver's seat. We kind of make the determination as to, you know, set the ordinance in place, and then of course we've got the safety measures in place, and then they just adhere to the quiet zone that we put in place. I think, or we could find out that it could be that simple.
Well, we could, but as this is proposed, this group is not going to work on that.
So we'll get another task force to. Committee together.
You can.
Can I add to this proposal that you have and see what?
Not and leave my name on it. No. Because I think we got a. If we make this thing too big, Jason, we're not going to do anything. And
I say let's tackle this and then gotta, just move on.
Maybe that would come next.
Mm-hmm. It might be a byproduct.
But I just don't perceive it as a. If you want to work on something that's important. We need to get the Nile Valley Road open. It solves other problems, and it gets the emergency people and the non-emergency, the residents that are going for an emergency to the hospital without having to wait on the tracks. But as far as the noise is concerned, I just don't see that as a something we'd like to solve. As far as I'm concerned, that's another group.
Okay. But while you're working with the Railroad Commission, why wouldn't you tackle both projects at the same time?
Because it's too damn big.
You're in a focus.
Too big.
Well, but you're talking about noise on 35.
That's all right. I'll tackle the noise.
Okay. You will?
I'll tackle the noise, absolutely.
Well, you'll get plenty. There's a lot of people that
would like to. No, absolutely.
I really think that marshalling is the most important thing, and I think what we need is where you're going. We need a plan so that when we do get somebody who comes in and wants to put something in our town that will use rail and needs help, we'll be ready with a plan. It may or may not be exactly what they want, but you need to bring the players to the table and talk about it and think about it and wonder about it and kick a rock or two and think about how we can do a better job.
Anderson owns the property. You were asking.
Okay.
So.
I
can stay. Glad to see you. Have a good evening.
Bye. We'll miss you.
I agree. I think that we should do the noise thing too, but I think we have trouble focusing on things, so maybe that's what we need to do.
The foundation of this, it's going to take some execution from operations and administrative to do the follow through with it. I mean, I think that's why directors and management and executives are here. So I'll get the information and then let everybody run with it.
Okay. Sorry.
And your proposal is all right with me too. Yeah, I agree. It's probably going to fix a lot of the 60 issues, but
we just need to get that 40 minutes of doing nothing.
I just think this thing is so big, Jason, and the other is it right now is big that we're just going to get tied up in our shorts and get nothing done if we expand the focus. And we've already heard Mark says that he didn't think city staff's got a plan to work on it, and it's not a priority with them.
Well, so I think the priority is not necessarily placed in our directors or management. I think that it's my opinion it should be placed in what the community says, the taxpayers say.
You're right. It should be here. And so I hear you. All right, well, we're going to run with this thing and see where it goes. If we solve this problem real quick, maybe we'll take on the noise problem.
Awesome.
Excellent. Great.
It's like phase one, phase two.
Yeah, and let me just say one thing. Becky, you're talking about getting the switching out of downtown Bay City, and that's really what we need to do, but by definition, there's going to be some.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got Barrett Materials that have got, there's three rails that go through Bay City's not all the way, and one of those is a sidetrack that goes into, they take hopper cars there.
Right.
So those things are going to have to be switched in and out, and we're not going to ask them to move their plant.
Oh, no.
So that's going to have to be done. Okay, I'll let you know in the first meeting.
Thanks.
Excellent. Me too, please.
Any other questions, comments?
Are you on board with this?
Yeah, we had discussed earlier in the week. It was narrowing the focus to really what are we going to accomplish and get a consensus council. And I didn't think there was a consensus council on what we're actually trying to accomplish.
Okay.
But knowing the objective, no problem. Great. Move on to item 3.3. Discuss, consider, and or take action on city drainage plans and processes with Drainage District 1 and possibly create a committee to determine our own method of engineering calculations for drainage with regards to new construction and expansion within the city limits. Councilman Jason Childers.
Okay, so I have, I'm hearing a lot from developers and businesses, kind of some holdups and bottlenecks with the processes that we have. And I understand after talking at one of the council meetings or workshops that there's a potential fix to this, and potentially looking at creating our own engineering method or calculations and methods. I don't know much about the drainage. Don't know much about the district and how it works. I don't know, what
we do have Chairman Franz here, and also Charles Calcamy, the engineer.
Perfect. Thank y'all for coming, because I do want to learn a lot about this and find out what we can do I understand some of the the other our neighbors have some different engineering calculations. I just want to maybe explore those, discuss those, and if that's something that would even be possible or wise for us to look at. Some of the developers I know are coming in and then leaving or not investing because of some of the delays, the expense that's associated with those. I just kind of want to learn a little bit about that. Don't know who with the city is. Are we going to the drainage district meetings? Marla, you're going. Okay. And then the other thing is, I look at, especially with these heavy rains that we've had, what role are we doing, Marla, I guess, with cleaning out some of these culverts, some of the ditches?
Well, that's not really what this is about. This is the process of the drainage district and the calculations.
It is. I guess I would like to address or find out if some of these issues are the issues that we have within the city with the ponding. I mean, is that the drainage district or is that our culverts and ditches?
Barry, do you want to come up here?
Sure.
And Charles, if you have anything.
Yeah, please.
Either one of y'all can jump in.
I know very little about this and I want to.
And Charles, you have been a representative of the drainage district engineer for how many years?
Since 1982 or three.
I was born in 83. 35 years, yeah.
It's been a while. With respect to the process and procedures, the biggest problem that we have, and not only drainage district here, but other areas where I work, is communications. Is making sure the developers and their engineers are aware of what rules and regulations they have to follow and what processes they have to go through. I feel I need to speak specifically towards one particular instance I've heard lately where the accusation was made the drainage district held them up for 3 months. Mm-hmm. Their engineer held them up for 3 months because they didn't submit anything to the drainage district for 3 months. And I have documentation to back that up. So we try not to hold anybody up, but there are things that have to be produced. One of the things that I know works good in some areas is that the weekly or every 2 weeks, there's a joint meeting held with the city staff, and that includes public works and drainage related issues, but code enforcement, fire marshal, and et cetera, and drainage district, and the county, if it were to be involved, if it was an ETJ development, and that developer and their engineer hopefully come in to sit at that meeting and where everybody's at the same table, just like we are here, and we can outline everything that has to be done and followed in the processes.
Done every week to 2 weeks?
Well, some people do it every week. Mm-hmm. Some people do it every 2 weeks. It just depends on how much of an interest there is and how much activity there is.
Yeah.
What is our standard? I mean, do we do it monthly or do we do it biweekly?
We don't have a joint meeting here.
So is that something we should do?
Well, I'd say the best thing is communication.
Sure.
And that's one of the best ways to start to keep the communication line open is to have that meeting. A developer comes in, whether he comes to the city or the county or the drainage district first, the first step that should happen, or that happens in these other communities, is that they say, okay, you need to come to this weekly meeting or bi-weekly meeting. And you don't do anything until that happens. That way they've got everything laid out in front of them. And so like I say, that communication aspect of it is the biggest thing that can help. As far as the procedures and the engineering, we're really not much different from everybody to the east and north of you. Mm-hmm. Speaking west of you, I've not worked over there, I couldn't tell you. But from the standpoint of everybody sort of east and north of you, it's pretty well the same thing.
Okay.
The numbers may be a little bit different, the formula, but the most of the time the things are pretty simple and straightforward and routine. Harris County has developed their own drainage runoff curves. They've gotten certainly a lot more sophisticated than Wharton County has or Austin County
or Waller
County.
I would,
different needs. Yeah. So you can go to that extreme, but the rest of the counties pretty well keep it pretty simple.
Okay.
You know, there's certainly some areas of town where everything's pretty well all concrete to begin with, and there's not much you can do there, and not much you, you know, need to do. Even if somebody comes in and tears something down totally and rebuilds, well, they're not making a change to what's going on because it was all concrete to begin with.
But the drainage district actually only meets once a month, right?
We only meet once a month. That's true.
So would a biweekly or weekly meeting be sufficient? I mean, would y'all do that if it helps the project move along, I guess is what I'm...
If the need were there, we'd do whatever we need to do to speed things along. And you know, we've had special meetings before to approve plans
that weren't coming until our
next meeting, and it would be 3 or 4 weeks down the road, and we would call a special meeting to approve something.
Where are y'all's meetings held?
In the county building.
The extension, okay. And what days are those? Are those
the
open
fourth
to-
Tuesday of every month
at
8 o'clock.
8 a.m.
The first one? Okay.
So what do you think about that, Mary? Do you think that would speed some processes up?
Some joint meetings?
If you had some joint meetings?
It could. When a developer first comes to the city, if they do come to the city first, sometimes they go to the CDC. If they do come to us first, we basically load them up with information and says, look, you know, here's a checklist of some of the things you're going to have to go through in order to get your development kicked off. And rest assured, one of the things we tell them is like, you're gonna have to go to the drainage district. You're gonna have to prepare drainage plans and go to the drainage district and let them know that the drainage district meets, you know, once a month. It's the last Tuesday of every month. And to get those drainage plans, you know, submitted as quickly as possible. Because they meet once a month, that's kind of the lengthy process. You know, if there's a plat that needs to be approved, needs to be developed and approved, a planning commission kind of meets as needed. And so we also let them know that as well. You know, go ahead and get that kicked off so we can, you know, let the planning commissioners know, hey, we got something coming, to go ahead and schedule a meeting and give them some information ahead of time so they can start preparing for that. You know, and so bringing everybody in together to meet, you know, sure, absolutely will help. Like Charles said, communication is key to getting things kicked off.
I think if everybody was on the same page, it might help speed up some.
And a lot of times, you know, I know Barry tells people to come to the ranges, but they don't come.
Right. Well, and I mean, I don't think they know it's important. I mean.
Well, and the thing I think that you mentioned, Barry, was that there is a list or some sort of roster that things that you have to do in order to get things approved. I think maybe the drainage district needs one of those as well, because the concern that I've heard over time has always been, they say, yeah, go do this, and we go do that. 6 weeks later, we present it again, and then they have two or three other things that they need to have done. So whether or not they did what they were asked to do or didn't
do. The rules are fairly clear.
Yeah.
Most of the time when people come to something, we don't approve. Now their engineers missed something, or they don't have a tax statement. There's generally something that they were instructed to bring that they just don't have.
They just didn't bring it.
And I don't think our rules are any different from most of these developers. They're developing in areas that with drainage districts just like ours, most of them know the rules.
Right. But so, their frustration is that they go other places, and that's what we keep hearing. Whether or not it's true, I don't know. But if we're not being clear enough and we're losing out on rooftops, then that's something that, yes, maybe it's their fault. And yes, maybe, you know, we could be more clear with whatever we've got going on. But we are the ones that are losing out, because that is one of our main, you know, areas of focus.
We're in fact, their process is probably a little simpler than, like I say, the further east you go.
It's simpler?
Ours, I think, is probably a little simpler in that we don't have a lot of, and maybe that's the issue. Maybe we need to get much more detailed in the procedures. The issue that I see most of the time is the developer that comes in is not your typical developer. He's somebody who wants to be a developer. And the engineer he brings in is not someone who's done a lot of drainage work. And so we wind up having to teach drainage class what you're supposed to do. even though we tell them in the rules the methodology to use and where to get the information, they don't seem to read that or to understand it, and we have to keep going back and forth and back and forth. You know, one exception of recent is the engineers working on the McCoy's development. They know what they're doing. And they submitted once to me, and I made some comments back to them, and they submitted again this week. And hopefully that'll be ready to go on the drainage board meeting later this month.
So when, and you mentioned the procedures, ours may be a little simpler than others. Does the drainage district set those? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And then I guess the process back to that, these developers come to us, we give them the checklist, and they're presenting their plans to you guys. Is that correct, or is that something that this
Well, city? They should submit them to both.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we review those also. Y'all review those. Do we bless those, or are we waiting for the
Yeah, we make comments.
What about the Planning Commission? Where's the Planning Commission and all that?
The Planning Commission reviews the plat. They approve the plat.
Okay.
And so that's usually done pretty early. Mm-hmm.
And then
the main hiccup with that is just scheduling the Planning Commission meeting, you know, really. Because they really don't meet on a regular basis. But it hadn't really been that big of an issue trying to get a Planning Commission meeting scheduled.
So if you met biweekly, who would you want to be at the meeting? I mean, what would be our, I mean, I think y'all would be there, and would Planning Commission go or county go? Or would it just be city and
If you say
district?
Meet bi-weekly, I guess we would have to have a reason to meet.
Well, yes, I agree.
If there's a development that's, you know, really a big development that's coming in, let's schedule a meeting with all the key players.
Well, I mean, like McCoy's. I mean, if McCoy's had a joint meeting, it would have gone faster.
You can meet like a second Tuesday. But this is going to require you to come down.
It's going to require me to come down.
And that expense is going to be, I guess, shared for the drainage district. Because if you came down 2 weeks before, they would have basically to walk through the plans before it's actually brought to the board.
Well, like I say, the meeting that I'm talking about is a meeting before there's any plans.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like a kickoff meeting.
It's just an information meeting to let them know what they need to bring to the
same meeting that Barry had with a developer when they're just getting started.
Yeah, when they first show up.
And what I'd say is that you just ought to pick up the phone and get them on the agenda and tell them, here's when you got to be at the, and then they're walking out of your place saying, well, I got to be, so they have to make another phone call and make arrangements. But I think your meetings are just fine. You know, when you get somebody like a McCoy's, you're going to have special meetings.
Some special emergencies.
If there's a big developer coming to town, by all means, let's all get together. I mean, that's. Yeah.
But it's just, you know, it would be nice, and I think where Jason may be heading is that when that developer comes in, he gets everything he needs to start with then. And he doesn't have to come back. When he meets with you, he also meets with you. And he gets the deal, here's what you gotta do. Yeah. And then when they submit, then it's yours. And you've got your piece of it, and you've got your piece of it. But, so that's where we're breaking down a little bit, is that there's two meetings instead of one.
Right.
If the city was doing their own drainage, for example, you'd have somebody in your group sit in on that initial meeting and get it all done in one meeting, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the difficulty that we've got in the process. But I think you can get around that if you help them get on the damn agenda. You just pick up the phone and say, we got a guy that, put him on the agenda. If he doesn't show up, you don't have to talk about it. The normal agenda, unless it's something that we need to hurry up with.
If it's big and urgent, you know.
And you can, and you know what that is. I trust you to know what that is. So.
And I don't know how much trouble, Barry, y'all have from a code enforcement and fire marshal standpoint as you get through the process, but like I say, these other communities, those people are involved in that meeting too, so if there's any code enforcement issues or fire marshal issues that have to be discussed, it's done up front.
He does that.
Okay, he does that all himself. Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, he does that.
Yeah, great.
That's what I say. It, you know, it'd be nice if you get it all done in one meeting.
Yeah.
That makes it easier for the developer. You don't have to come back, and you don't have to pick a phone and try to schedule a meeting and blah, blah, blah.
But I probably can count on one hand the number of meetings that I've had with people coming up beforehand to ask about our requirements and regulations and when we submit and all that good stuff, because they just don't pay attention or...
Well, I think, you know, if they're not coming and talking to Barry, they're SOL to begin with. And when they come and talk to Barry, he's telling them.
I know, and but for some reason they don't come.
Well, all I'm saying, I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't want to. I don't care why. It's up to them. But what we can do is set them up on the schedule,
mm-hmm.
right then and there. Say, here's where you got to be, and you'll get the straight skinny on what you got to do for drainage. That's a very small thing, but it may help a little bit. But I got to tell you, Charles, the other thing is your retention ponds are too damn big. Why is that?
Well, I don't know. I guess I'd have to see something specific as to...
Well, the retention pond that we've got at...
Golden Glen.
We got 1,000-year rain.
Exactly. The drainage district doesn't design the detention.
Who does?
The engineer for the project. Working for the developer.
That's.
And we don't check.
You mean to tell me that developer decided to build one that big?
That's the way his engineer designed it to match our rules and his calculations. Now, we don't go through and redo his calculations. You know, he's got an engineer. He's got a seal on it.
Well, yeah, but he's using your methodology to design that way.
That's right.
And
but if there's no water getting into that thing, then there's something plugged up somewhere. Maybe we need to see why there's no water getting into it.
Yeah.
And remember that they're designed to hold 12.5 inches in 24 hours. The detention ponds, the volumes are based on 12.5 inches of rainfall in a 24-hour period.
Well,
so if you don't get that, it's probably not going to get much water in it.
Well, I'm talking about the hurricane. We didn't have a foot of water in that thing.
I don't know. That's an interesting issue. I don't know why that would be the case. I mean, even if it was half the size that it is today, it still should have been full of water.
But that's right. The other thing that we get complaints about. I get them all the time. I got a flat here. I got a piece of property, and a third of it's got to be detention pond. And based on what I've seen, I haven't seen one run over yet.
Well, they're not supposed to run over.
I know they're not supposed to run over. I haven't seen one with much water in them.
Water.
You know, the one back of the hospital hadn't got much water in it.
Well, that was designed for that entire tract of land as it developed in the future to hold for that entire development. That one was oversized to begin with. Those engineers did that. And that was what they wanted to do development-wise. I forget, that was 45 acres or something.
I don't know.
And that pond was sized for the full 45-acre development.
About the only specific information I got is the one on Golden Glen.
Yeah.
And that was
I'll take a look at that to see why it wouldn't be having water in it, because that doesn't make any sense.
We didn't flood the streets. Well, we had flooding in the streets, but we didn't flood any houses.
Well, if there was flooding in the streets of Golden Glen, there should have been a lot of water running into that pond.
There was. It's just a big pond. we ought to put a couple of duck blinds out there. But that's a complaint.
That's a common complaint that everybody hears everywhere in all the other jurisdictions as well. They don't want to give up the land. One of the problems down here is there's no depth in outfalls. I mean, what you're draining the pond into. So unless you're going to put in a pump system, you're going to have a large footprint because it's not very deep.
Yeah. Well, what we finally did out at the Showman Theater seems to work.
It's got water in it.
And it's got a pump station.
A pump station, but one of the pumps is not working right now. I need to.
Yeah, but it works.
One of the pumps should always be a backup redundant pump. It should never take all the pumps to work. That's one of our requirements.
But you're sure and you defend your protocol for designing the criteria for designing.
The regulations we have for not allowing an increase in peak runoff rates, yes. It's very, very standard with the engineering community across the Countryside.
Do you know the neighboring counties, how they compare their policies?
Like I say, basically everybody's policy is that you don't increase the any additional peak runoff rates in the storm events. Now, most of the time, well, there's two primary ways to do that calculation. One is the Harris County way of either detention curves or a straight factor. They'll have a 0.55 or 0.65 acre foot per acre requirement that you just meet that if you're a certain size. The other is to use rainfall intensities based off of TxDOT's intensity duration curves and using a calculation methodology called Malcolm Small Watershed Methodology. And if you look at Brazoria County, you look at Wharton County, you look at Harris County, you look at Fort Bend County, you look at Waller County, all of them have that methodology in there. And that works for small developments.
Are we pushing, when people present their plans to the drainage district, are we pushing a lot of, or sending them back saying, no, you need to tweak this, you got to tweak that? Are we seeing a lot of?
We do have more going back than we should have, yes. And it's because the engineers are struggling with doing the work.
But we're not, I mean, based on the formulas, you don't feel that we're requesting them to be over-engineered?
I don't think you're over-engineering any more than anybody else is in the area.
So everybody's over-engineering?
it's the standard of engineering that everybody uses.
But if we're engineering to this level and we're not experiencing, even with the rains that we've had recently, any water being retained,
I understand your concerns and your comments, and I'd like to have the opportunity to look at it and see what's going on. You know, if that pond had no water in it, does that mean the ditch that went through Davis's property and across Skelly Road had no water in it? Was that ditch all open?
Yeah.
That it was training the water out of the pond faster than it could come in?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah, but then why?
Well, no,
it's a good thing, but if that happens, why do you need such a big pond? You don't. Is the answer, and I know you get this complaint all the time, but in this case, in that particular pond, Charles, that thing is too big.
Well,
period.
I don't know the answer to that question, and I'd be happy to look into it and try to give you an answer.
Well,
but I don't know the answer.
Too late.
But I mean, it's too late. But again, if there is a fallacy in something, we need to know it.
Well, what we need to know is the methodology that you're using what you really ought to be using?
Well, it's what everybody else is using.
If you're going to defend that, then don't spend a bunch of time looking at this pond that's oversized.
Well,
because that's what I want to do. I want to get the methodology right. To where we're not eating up as more property than we need to in building these retention ponds.
But one of the things that we always have to push on the developments is the water has got to get to the pond.
Yeah.
If those streets were full of water and there was very little water in the pond, then something's plugged up and not letting the water get to the pond.
Charles, it couldn't have been plugged up. We'd have water in the houses. You know, if you got flooding, I'm sure the streets had some water in it. I'm sure they were probably flooded, but maybe a little bit over the curb, but it wasn't bad flooding out there.
Well, then the water in the pond should have been at the same level.
I know, right. And it wasn't.
Well, then there's something keeping the water from getting to the pond. The water's going to sink a constant level. And the reason it's different is because there's some head that's restricting it and not letting it go.
So if we're choosing to engineer at this level, then at some point we need to go back and look at it and determine whether or not that was effective. I mean, I don't know where that comes in, but I probably need to do that.
Well, like I say, I'm gonna look at this one just nothing else out of my own curiosity to see if there's something not working, because I don't remember it being.
Sound like that system's not working, probably like an oversized pipe coming out of it,
The plugged up pipe going into it, maybe. I don't know.
But sure, we have water in the streets. Mm-hmm. The ditch did not flood. It did not. I mean, it was full. So I think the drainage system's working just fine.
Okay. Well,
you just got too much area in that pond, period.
Well, like I say, I'll be happy.
I looked at it throughout the storm, and that's the one place I was watching. But it, again, I don't want to put you in a bunch of work for nothing.
No.
If you're curious, fine, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it doesn't change the methodology that you're going to defend, then it, for me, it's a waste of time.
Well,
it is what it is. We're not going to fill part of the pond because it's too big.
But I'll go back and look at the actual size of it and what volume is supposed to be there and how that relates to other projects. That was been a long time ago.
So we're no different than anybody else, huh?
Not really. I mean, again, the goal is to not increase the runoff rates from a development so that you keep the situation status quo.
Well, if that's the case, then it is what it is, and about the only thing we can do is try to make things go smoother for the developer when they come in here.
And then,
which we've been talking about for, and I think we've done better. I do. But you don't get that from the contractors.
If we asked McCoy's what was getting in the way of their development, because let me clarify one thing. In my mind, I remember that McCoy's was going to be open September. Aren't they going to be open September of this year?
Yeah.
Isn't that 2 months away?
No.
Am I right?
I know the answer to your question. It was all McCoy's.
Okay. So I just wanted to. I just want to see.
We just got the first submittal. Three weeks ago.
Okay. They had trouble with pipelines. They had trouble with
locally holding them up.
Okay.
What's the
that's what I
wetlands?
Wetlands ask the
issues
question.
And then they just didn't move very fast.
You know, a couple of years ago, we did a big project on a regional detention out west of town, and there we found a piece of land, a pretty good spot, but we had some pipeline issues. Our biggest problem was conveyance, was getting the water to a regional pond.
Yeah.
There was going to be some condemnation.
What did you do with that project? Nothing?
It was tabled. Once the conveyance issue hit the table, we were looking at maybe having to condemn some property to build some ditches through there. That was going to get out of hand. It had been a great project. I was all for it. We put it down kind of below Jackson Electric.
Is that the regional design that was 2016?
Probably about
100 acres. Is that
somewhere
around
there? And that's,
matter of fact, we had the property under contract for a while. Yeah,
somebody didn't want a ditch, huh?
And so that's dead. That stopped.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not dead. I know you're always working on that.
We terminated the contract. Yeah, we terminated the contract.
Is that where that pond is now? Behind Jackson.
Well, Jackson Electric has their own pond. But this would have been.
No, there was a pond there before they built.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
there is a pond back there.
Yes, you're right. There is a pond back there.
Is that what you were going to use?
It was going to be, but it's a convergence of two ditches.
Yeah, there's the ditch that comes from Shulman's, comes through there, and then there's the creek that comes from the northwest, and they come together in this tract of land.
And that's where you were.
And so we were going to make the pond in that full 100 acres.
Lots of money.
I don't like the little detention ponds, I'll tell you. I don't like
them. None of us do.
I know you don't, Charles.
But you've got to find a way to do something else.
That's why they're so big.
From a regional standpoint, I don't like the big little ponds. And, you know, I've been a part of two regional projects in which the first step was finding the tract of land and buying it.
Yeah.
And then we got the ponds dug for almost nothing because we found people that wanted dirt. But you got to have a tract of land first, and you got to have a plan. So there's still opportunities out there, I think, in places to pursue that. And that's what I'd really like to see is a joint county effort to pursue that.
Joint county effort.
Well, I mean, drainage district, the city. I don't know the county being involved per se, but.
Yeah, and Turris 2 and Shulman are probably the best place.
Yeah.
Because it's all undeveloped. But you'd have a impact fee to make any improvements needed to get it to the detention. But.
I mean, you've got a large tract of land to the west of Shulman's that's undeveloped. It goes all the way to the creek.
Yep.
If you could take the area east of Shulman's and get it conveyed to that creek and get enough area around that creek dug out to where you build some detention in that creek instead of being 60, 70 foot wide or whatever it is, it's 200 foot wide. You'd open up that whole countryside for development without detention.
Right. Well, Barry, what do you see to make this better for the contractor? You want to talk about making sense or not?
No, I hear what you're saying. I think what we can do, I mean, aside from meeting with the contractor when they initially come to us, I mean, we give them all the information, the requirements of the drainage district, tell them, well, this is when they meet, this is when, you know, submit your plans, you know, as soon as possible. We can possibly, you know, it doesn't necessarily require Charles being there. We can call him up on the phone and say, hey, you know, we have this developer here, you know, here's what he's trying to do, you know, what are your concerns? You know, whenever they come in to schedule a meeting, you know, try to schedule a meeting with Charles, get him on the phone. That's like, again, not necessarily have to have him here.
Yeah.
And just go from there, and maybe they can talk and kind of get some ideas going and get some things flowing. That way that they'll have a better idea on what they need to do to get it right, possibly the first time, instead of having to go back and then back, you know.
So just a certain amount of hand-holding to let them know that we really want their business and we want them here and treat everybody like they're inexperienced.
I don't call it hand-holding. It's really coordinating, the initial coordination of the communication. I mean, what you said there I really liked, because you could share contact information, for example.
Yeah.
And maybe get them on the agenda if that fits, and maybe have a conversation over the phone. And that makes some sense to me.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's doable. I think it is doable, Charles.
Yeah. I mean, we're open to helping in any way we can to make that process go smoother. We understand the frustration they have. And the sooner we can get into the picture to help them understand what they have to go through, their engineer understand what he has to go through, and basically what his options are. You know, there's a lot of times we can help him, where are you going to drain, and help him, because we know kind of what's going on in the area, and a lot of times you've got this you can drain to, or this you can drain to, or give him some guidance. Because most of the time they're not using local guys, so they're coming in cold.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or they work in San Antonio, which is not a terrible place, but they just don't understand because they have hills.
Yeah, they have hills.
Yeah. But their hills are different than our hills.
Right, we're flat.
And they're, you know.
Different. We haven't had very many since my little short time on the board that we've had to bounce back to them for major issues. Most of the time it's a tax statement something on their checklist of things to submit to us. They just...
Yeah. Marla and I go back and forth a lot of times with these guys because the plat and the title report don't match up and stuff. So I've got one right now where I've had three different plats and three different title reports each time, and they're not in Bay City. Each time they don't agree.
All the time they don't agree. So that's why we have title.
Okay, good.
But you know, when they say just drive that on down to Bedrock. Because they're from San Antonio, it's a little different here.
Yes.
So
well, we appreciate you.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you
yes,
so much.
Thank
for
you.
Anytime.
And I hope I didn't offend you, but still.
No, sir.
Your damn ponds are too big.
I know. I understand. But if nobody gets water in the house, I'm happy.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barry.
Move on to item 4, adjourn.
So move.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Call to vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no.
I'm going to run this
meeting. Meeting is adjourned at 6:42 p.m.
Is an excellent start.
Seven.
Do we need to turn this off?
Sit after
it. There we go.